In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another episode of our program, In Search of Piety. And today, inshallah, we will share some words of advice, words of wisdom from his life, some hadith narrations reported by him, or narrations that he commented on, or clarified, or added to. Also, an element of asceticism. The topic of today's episode is the greatest asceticism. Asceticism here referring to zuhud, turning away from the world and remembering that this has a reality that has no significance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, this world has no real significance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example that is given in a hadith tradition is that it's not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. And had it been so much, then the disbeliever would not even get a drop of water. So for this world, just imagine that if we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not fulfill the commands given to us, we do not fulfill our obligations in the religion, and our excuse on the Day of Judgment is that we were engaged in matters of this world. How strange and in fact humiliating potentially this would be if we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the explanation that we try to give for our shortcomings is something like we were busy in the affairs of this world, and due to this reason, we were not able to fulfill the commands that were given to us. The world, which does not really hold importance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we continue, I would like to remind you of the excellence of sending blessings in favor of the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is reported in a hadith that the one who performs this action once, meaning he expresses salat ala nabi, he expresses a supplication of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 mercies upon him. 10 of his sins are erased, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his rank by 10, meaning he is given an elevation of 10 ranks. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Let us continue our discussion with some more words of wisdom. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, "The pious people have departed, and the envious remain who do not recognize good, and they have no idea regarding evil." So this was an indication that the greatest people have departed from this world, and the people that are coming after them, many of them are people who do not truly recognize goodness, or they do not have that true insight regarding good and evil. And this is Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu speaking about the era that he is living in. So we can't even imagine what his opinion would have been after observing the kind of situation that we find ourselves in today, or the era that we live in today. Being such a great companion, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an was approached for advice at times. And on one occasion, a man came to him and he simply sought the advice of this great companion. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, "Your home should suffice," meaning your home should be good enough for you. "Protect your tongue and shed tears on remembering your sins." These statements of advice are just as appropriate and applicable to this very day as they were in that particular era. So this man who came to this Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, seeking advice, he was told that his presence at home should be enough for him, and that was an indication that don't go out unless you really need to go out. Being within one's home is—it's not only a protection for oneself in terms of physical well-being, but one is saved from trials that are out there when one is within the safe boundary and comfort zone of his home. The same applies to this very day and age, because when one leaves the home, the interactions that may take place, the sights that he may see, the people that he may meet even, and the conversations that he may have outside the house, or his observations outside the house, might lead to other trials. So being at home is just a way of safeguarding, protecting oneself and also one's faith and one's adherence to the religion. The second element that he mentioned in this statement of advice, protect your tongue, a very simple, powerful statement. And this is in line with what our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. We know from a famous hadith that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned about the things that will lead, that will be the greatest causes of entering the fire, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the tongue and the concealed parts, the private parts, because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned about the greatest causes of entering the fire for an individual, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed the tongue and the concealed parts, and it is due to these two things that many people fall into sin or they face trials that they fail in. When one protects the tongue, one saves himself or herself potentially from many sins and conflicts, confrontations, argumentation. Even if it's a difference of opinion, it might begin with a difference of opinion, it becomes a stronger disagreement. Suddenly voices are raised and hearts are broken. So when the tongue is protected and one is thinking before he speaks, then there is a better chance of avoiding many of these problems and many of these trials. In fact, the other side or the other element of the hadith was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned about the greatest causes of entering paradise. And in this particular hadith, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned taqwa and good character. Yes. So taqwa being encompassing, it covers so many different elements. But if I generally translate it, piety or just righteousness. So being, adopting piety, and in particular, the second element the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, good character. There is no real or true understanding of the Quran and Sunnah when one is bitter, when one is harsh, when people around us are deterred, or even they feel as if they're repelled. They are pushed away by this so-called solemn nature or so-called austerity. We shouldn't be so harsh that people do not, people are afraid to interact with us or speak with us, especially our very own family members. At the same time, when it comes to matters of religion, yes, there is no compromise in obligations of the religion, but the way we encourage and the way we invite others towards the Quran and Sunnah, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should be a way of beauty, of encouragement, of hope. Instilling this hope in the hearts of people that there is forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened these doors of forgiveness because we are erring people. We make mistakes daily. Every other moment seems like an erring moment. Our shortcomings are so many that we lose count. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is there for us. The door of mercy is open. We simply need to express a sincere repentance. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help. Present the wasila of His beloved Prophet. Mercy for all the worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then we will see, doors will open for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us ease. Remember, anything that we do in life, anything that we think we have achieved in life, we have achieved and attained all these things due to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, this should be in the back of the mind of every believer, that every success that I have in this life, every moment of glory that you may have experienced, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed for it to happen. And if Allah had willed otherwise, then even something which apparently seemed we were certain about, and we were absolutely sure that the outcome would be what we expected to be, if Allah willed otherwise, it would not have happened. So we, in our success, in our trials, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we trust the judgment and decree of our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this links us to the third statement of advice about shedding tears, that one should cry when one remembers sins. Now, if someone finds that difficult, maybe it's something that's difficult to do as people who understand and acknowledge personal weakness. We should not find it difficult to cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially waking up in the middle of the night maybe, or before you go to sleep at night, that sincere 2 rakat nafl prayer that you might offer for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you raise your hands in supplication. No one is watching, no one is around. It will be easier to cry because no doubt we have so many sins that we can think of, so many moments of transgression that will remind us of how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that despite this disobedience and almost a constant and daily expression of disobedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to shower His blessings upon us. And He has not seized us, He has not taken many of our blessings away. So whether the sense of gratitude brings tears to our eyes, or whether the remembrance of our transgressions brings these tears to our eyes, crying in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way of our pious predecessors. It is the way of the greatest in creation, the prophets alayhim as-salam. Moving on to the main title of our episode, the greatest asceticism. This is linked to a statement of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an. It's as follows. Once he addressed the people saying that you desire to surpass the Sahaba, meaning the prophetic companions radiyallahu anhum, in prayer, fasting, and personal judgment. They are better than you. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, he is addressing the people in front of him, and he is saying these words, that you desire to surpass the companions in terms of prayer, fasting, and personal judgment, but they are better than you. And then he continued, the people responded, how are they better? And they wanted to know the exact reason of excellence. Thereafter, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, he said, they are the greatest people, or they are the people to adopt the greatest level of asceticism upon the face of the earth. And they were the most inclined to the hereafter. So, 2 traits that were mentioned by him. It was the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who adopted the greatest level of asceticism in this world, meaning they showed through their behavior and conduct that they did not love this world. They lived for the hereafter, because the second element was what? They were the most inclined to the hereafter. Now, when one is inclined to the hereafter, the choices, lifestyle, and general opinions of that individual reflect this reality. And the fact is that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were the most selfless, pious, generous people who lived after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Their trait of justice is such that even in the science of hadith, in the principles of hadith, when companions are spoken of, this general principle is mentioned, that all of them are just. That when it comes to the integrity, where the integrity and the accuracy of other reporters of hadith are questioned and are looked upon or investigated, the integrity of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, the adl that is attributed to them, It is common and it is general and it is for each and every one of them. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and reminding the people of that particular era, that no one can surpass the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum in terms of their asceticism. After their time, after their generation, the greatest saintly figure does not reach the level of a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This is the greatness given to this great generation, the best generation in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. We desire peace, tranquility, comfort in this world. Some of us may travel abroad and thinking that we come out of this 9-to-5 working routine or our daily commitments, the kind of schedule that we have for every day or for every week or every month. We need to get out of this cycle. So the only way to relax or to have some comfort is to come out of this cycle, go abroad. Those of us who choose to go for Hajj, for Umrah, or we go back to, if we're from the subcontinent, our roots are in the subcontinent, we go and visit our families, or we go in the Arab world, wherever we go in the world, there is an element of a need to take a break from everything. And this break will lead to lessening our stress levels, ensuring that we are refreshed, we come back with a new sense of passion or a new enthusiasm to tackle the daily challenges of life. But we need that break away from the cycle that we're in. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentions a very beautiful point about comfort. He says that for the believer, there is no greater comfort than the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said that the one for whom the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his comfort, then he shall most definitely attain it. The vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise for the believers, it's something for them in the hereafter, is the greatest gift and the greatest blessing in paradise. And this is what Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was referring to. That when a believer, he yearns for this comfort, then every other comfort has no comparison. Seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the happiness that will be experienced by the individual is something that is incomparable, cannot be imagined. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam mentioned the trials that people will face towards the end of times. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam described some elements of how the matter will be so intense that the young will become old, meaning children will become youths and the youth will become old. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say that the attitude of the people in that time will be that when one of them does not fulfill a religious element or does not fulfill something of the religion, the other one will say, "You have disregarded something," or "You have disregarded," or "You have left a sunnah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when will this happen? This age of trials and this time that is being described, when will it actually happen? Or what is the sign? Or what can we look for?" The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that it will be when your scholars will be less in number and your reciters will be more. He also said that there will be more affluent people but less people of integrity. So affluence, people being rich, will be on the rise, but people having integrity will be less. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, deeds that were done or deeds that are usually done for the betterment of the hereafter will be done for financial gain. And the last thing that he mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith was the seeking of sacred knowledge will not be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, before we start thinking, "Oh, this sounds like it is our era," Let me share with you what Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said. Commenting on this hadith, he said his opinion was that you are living, he was referring to saying this to the people of his time. He said, you are living in the time now. So if this was the observation of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu in his time, we cannot imagine what he would have thought of the era that we are living in. Is it not the case that there are less scholars? People who are not scholars are claiming to have a certain rank. People are not able to differentiate between someone who has studied the religion and someone who can simply recite. This is another trial that we face in this world. The public do not know. Generally speaking, they cannot differentiate. For them, someone who grows his beard and might have a melodious voice, that might be enough for them to think that he's a scholar. And the truth is, students of knowledge understand who represents scholarship or who is part of that blessed connected chain leading back to the Prophet ﷺ. So scholarship is rare. We don't see genuinely knowledgeable people who have great insight in the religion. And those who have great insight in the religion, this is their opinion that I share. They are the ones who say that we do not consider ourselves to be people of insight. And yet there are people out there who, without the study, without sitting in the feet of the ulama, simply through some form of self-study, they have the audacity to pass judgment, to give verdicts in matters of religion, and they have the confidence, misplaced confidence, to be labeling people incorrectly without any real or true understanding of the religion. More advice from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and he once said that when one of you spends his morning in a state of fasting, or when one of you is fasting, then he should walk a little, meaning he should have some kind of activity. He should not be idle and should not. Some people, when they fast, they want to make the fast easy for themselves and they decide to rest for longer periods. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he wrote about this on occasions when he said that when you fast, there should be some activity element so you feel that burning sensation. And when we feel that burning sensation inside us, that is a purification for us too. It doesn't mean that one exerts himself or herself to such an extent that the fast itself becomes difficult. This is just an expression that we should feel the hunger and the thirst of the fast so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for our patience. So coming back to this point, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he is advising and he says, when one of you is fasting, he should move around a little, he should walk a little. And he also said, when you give with your right hand, do not conceal it from your left hand. Meaning you give without ostentation. You give discreetly in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's nearer to sincerity and there's a greater chance of acceptance. And he also said, when you perform supererogatory prayers, nafl prayers, pray them or offer them at home. So these were the three statements of advice in this particular narration. Just as a reminder that when one is fasting, there should be a little activity or exertion to feel the fast. When one gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be done discreetly, without ostentation. And praying the extra prayers should be something which is done at home. Just highlighting this final statement of advice, or the third statement of advice, often we neglect the fact that there should be some prayer that is prayed at home. And it's actually encouraged by the fuqaha as well. Whether it's the some of the sunan that you read before you go for the congregational prayer for brothers, or whether it's once you've prayed the congregational prayer and there are some sunan or nawafil to read thereafter, you come back home. There should be, whether it's children growing up, they should see the father, the mother praying at home, the home, the rooms of the house being blessed with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, The prayer brings blessings with it. When one is praying, the mercy of Allah descends on that individual. And you will feel the difference. We will feel the difference in our homes if we are praying in the rooms of our homes, where homes are echoing with the recitation of the Quran, where there is the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a beautiful abode is something that is a means of blessings, and with the grace of Allah, a means of salvation for us. One final statement of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and that I would like to share with you, very powerful. And he actually said that there are three statements that I swear by, meaning I take an oath by them. And were I to take an oath by the fourth one, this would be true as well. Let us inscribe these pieces of advice, these statements in our hearts. The first thing he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never equate the believer and the disbeliever. Number two, the one who is granted a blessing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, He will grant him a blessing in the hereafter too. Number three, the gathering of an individual for the Day of Judgment will be with the one whom he loves. So whomsoever one loves, one will rise and be judged with them on the Day of Judgment. And this is actually based on a prophetic tradition. And the fourth element about which he said, were I to take an oath or express an oath about this fourth statement, I would be true. And this was that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conceals the fault of an individual in this world, He will conceal the fault of that individual in the hereafter. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah conceals our faults in this world, forgives us, and grants us salvation in the hereafter. May we gain inspiration from the words, the wisdom of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.